Welcome to the FantasyGuru.com Franchise Focus Podcast. Now here's Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley.
It is time for another edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast here at FantasyGuru.com. Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley ready to talk to you about the Kansas City Chiefs as we're nearing the midway point of our Franchise Focus Podcast, starting from the bottom of the first round, working our way all the way up to the number one pick, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And that will be posted for you on April 24th, a full week in advance of the 2015 NFL Draft. So make sure you check out all of our Franchise Focus Podcasts. We'll have time to catch up here in the month of April as we're looking ahead before the draft and getting you ready, looking at all the team needs, the additions, the subtractions, the fantasy implications. We're covering all 32 teams before the draft gets underway. MLB season is in full swing, and FanDuel is changing the way people play fantasy baseball. It's more fun than ever. Don't wait another day. Sign up now to play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. They are the leaders in one-day fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts. Entry fees start at just $1. Stop waiting 6 months to win a league. Play today, win tonight. Pick a brand new team any day you want. No season long commitment and no upfront fees. Make every game exciting with FanDuel. And Joe, we're a week into the season. There's been excitement. There's been injuries already. And if you've dealt with any of those injuries, if you're playing in a season long league, you're already kind of mad about what's going on. But if you're playing in FanDuel, you don't have to worry about it.
No, and honestly, in season long leagues at this point, you're probably thinking your offense totally sucks. And you're like, it's the way it always is. In FanDuel, though, you can get instant gratification if you like a particular pitching matchup or a team against a particular pitcher. Go out and use them.
Hey, how about some of these people that won on opening day? How about Danny in Las Vegas? His net winnings on opening day, over $13,000. And that's just one of the many winners on opening day. And you can now join them if you took a week to kind of get ready and look at how the first week of baseball went. Now you're into it. Now you want to jump in, you can do so. FanDuel's paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Here's the special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offers only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. So as we move into our talk about the Kansas City Chiefs, we remind you that you can always get your questions in, maybe for a podcast, a future podcast, or if you have a reaction to a podcast, whatever you want to talk about, use the hashtag FranchiseFocus and then tweet them to us at FantasyGuruSite, at the Matt Kemp, at FG underscore Dolan, at FG underscore Brolin. We'll have a question from you guys a little bit later on in the podcast about the Kansas City Chiefs. But let's start here, guys, as we get right into it to open up the podcast. Chiefs, pretty boring team in 2014. Now, they've tried to help themselves with their offseason moves, but a 9-7 team, tied for second in the AFC West. Alex Smith, pretty boring. As we know, the stat, not one wide receiver on the Chiefs last year had a touchdown, and maybe that's because they have one of the worst receiving cores in football. You do have Jamaal Charles, who still played at a very high level, was a little bit banged up at times last season, but was still tremendous. Nile Davis backed him up, maybe one of the best handcuffs in all of fantasy football. But we kind of know what we have here. I think that can be good, and that could be bad. You know what you have here in the Chiefs. You have Jamaal Charles, you have Travis Kelce we're going to talk about, and then you don't really have much for fantasy, and that starts with Alex Smith, because a pretty boring player, a solid player, 65% completion percentage, threw 464 passes last year, didn't even touch 3,300 yards, 7 yards per attempt, 19 touchdowns, 6 interceptions in 15 games, 254 and a touchdown on the ground, the number 26 fantasy quarterback at 18.1 fantasy points per game. You're not surprised by any of those numbers really at all, and you know, I think if he had more weapons around him, maybe it would be better, but when Alex Smith is leading your offense, from a fantasy perspective, you're not really going to get too excited about the team.
Well, if they had more, honestly, I'm going to be Frank, if this team looked weapon-wise like the Buffalo Bills, I think Alex Smith would put up more numbers. They just don't have a lot of talent, and it is evident to me that Jeremy Maclin does not play fantasy football. Because if he did, he wouldn't have gone to Kansas City. And his draft stock is plummeting because he's frankly going to be playing with a guy who doesn't throw it outside the numbers all that well.
I mean, he's going to go to an offense that is boring. They threw just 464 passes last season. He's clearly an upgrade over what they have. But he's going from the Eagles to the Chiefs. You're going from an offense that we love for fantasy to one that is just kind of there, and you're not excited about it. Now, he is the number one guy. Dwayne Bowe gone. They just don't have much else here. I mean, here's as we look back at our 2014 review and 2015 early preview we put up in February, we wrote up Dwayne Bowe, Albert Wilson, Jason Avant, and Donnie Avery.
None of those guys was worth rostering by the end of the year. Not a one of them. And oh yeah, Dwayne Bowe, screw that. Roster somebody with upside.
Wasn't it good? I mean, it didn't give you much.
65th among receivers, 9.0 fantasy points.
That was your top receiver on the team.
And you know what? And I tend to think Dwayne Bowe, while he's not great, I think he's a better player than that. And I think it was just the offense that held him back. And he was holding back the offense. The offense held him back. It was kind of a give and take.
Yeah, it was a combination of both. With that said, I probably won't have Jeremy Maclin on very many of my teams. There's just no upside in that offense. And I mean, Alex Smith, he doesn't throw it that vertically or outside the numbers. He's just somebody I'm not going to have on my team. He's going to go over, probably over a spot that I would want to take him at. He's number three, number four receiver in my eyes for fantasy.
I think he's probably going to be in the fourth, fifth rounds of fantasy. I think he's probably not somebody I'd feel good about until the sixth round. I'm not telling you.
I wouldn't feel good about him in the eighth round. He's just a guy I'm not going to have on any team.
He's really a good player.
Yeah, no, saying he's not, but this offense is going
to
kill him.
One thing we've been liking to do on these podcasts is look at the MFL 10 ADP in the early going to see where people are kind of shoehorning these guys in at this early stage. Jeremy Maclin is somebody you just can't get a good read on because his ADP has shifted significantly since he signed with the Kansas City Chiefs. Currently, he's going at about pick 49, which means he's an early fifth-round pick.
I think he's a number three wide receiver for fantasy next
that
year.
That takes into account the picks that were made when people assumed he was going to be back in Philadelphia.
Even if that falls 20 spots, I don't want him.
In a format like this, because now of the shift in where he's going from the Eagles to the Chiefs, it does have to hurt him here.
It hurts him here, yeah, because how many big games is he going to have? Is Jeremy Maclin going to go for 12 for 150 and a touchdown like he had a threat of doing in Philadelphia? Maybe once, if you're lucky. Maybe.
He's not a guy, and knowing Andy Reid, and he knows Maclin, and we know what Andy Reid is like, he's not a guy that's going to cause a dramatic shift in this offense. Because at times we were frustrated last year, and when Andy Reid last year has to apologize on multiple occasions on Monday morning for his lack of use of Jamaal Charles. It's baffling to me when you clearly have a guy like that who is the best player on your team. And you talk about Travis Kelce as well. That you go like, what now? Anthony Messina was gone. So let's talk about what they have here. Obviously, Maclin leads the way, but Anthony Messina was gone. And you look at the targets and you look at the snaps for Travis Kelce. Kelce played on 81% of the snaps in the second half of last year after playing 51% in the first half.
51?
So, I mean, he still finished as the number eight tight end. And I think we have every right to be mad about that because this is a guy that we saw last year, not this early, but maybe in June, July, where it was, okay, if he's good to go from this knee injury, this microfracture came back from that cost him all of 2013.
And by the way, that can end a career.
Absolutely. So when we saw him in the preseason, see, for me, I don't like to overrate that stuff, but when you see a guy catch a pass and then run away from everybody else and do it multiple times in the preseason, that tells me, okay, he's good to go. So that's why we were so high in him. Now, he finished eighth, and I think if you say a guy who's never done anything finishes eighth, you're happy with it if you just kind of take a step back. You don't look at the names. But if you put his season into perspective and actually look at how much he was used and really not used enough at times, 67 catches on 87 targets, 77% catch rate, 862 yards, 12.9 yards per catch, 5 touchdowns. This guy should have been way better than, I mean, much,
yeah, he was
much
a guy
better
that wasn't
than
even
that.
Going in some fantasy
drafts. This might be a hot take. This may not even be it might not even be a lukewarm take, but I'm going to give it to you anyway, because that's what we're doing here. I think Travis Kelce outproduces Jeremy Maclin.
Yeah, I would agree with that too.
I think he's their number one receiver. And barring Andy Reid doing something stupid. And by the way, we talked about the Eagles on their podcast, how Zach Ertz wasn't used as much as we thought. There was a reason for that. Brent Celek is one of the best blockers at his position in the NFL. And while I'm not telling you Anthony Fasano's a scrub as a blocker, Travis Kelce's an excellent run blocker. So I was just puzzled from top to bottom. Maybe Reid was told by the medical staff, hey, look, you got to ease this guy in. And maybe that wasn't what was being told, but the guy was producing.
But
it was
that's the thing. You don't have anybody else. You know what? I think that's BS. If that's what they told them, then they're got to be much smarter with knowing you're a 9-7 team. You're in a division that has the firepower at times of the Broncos. You know Rivers can beat you at any time. There is no reason that you're going to hold a guy like this back when you don't have anything else really on the team in the receiving core that can be dominant or is going to scare opposing defenses. You have a guy like that in your backfield in Jamaal Charles. Okay, great. Teams are going to key in on that. But when you have a guy like Kelce, who is a clear mismatch, and you don't have help. If it's a team that's stacked, I get it. You want to bring him along solely. Sure, I understand that. But they didn't have that luxury to do that. He was their best receiver last year, and it wasn't even close.
If it was a medical reason, I can understand it because you don't want to. But he looked good. You're right. He looked good.
It was the coaching reason. And I mean, then it's ridiculous.
I just don't have faith in Andy
Reid. We do these efficiency articles at the end of the season. He was far and away the most efficient receiver. He caught 77% of his passes, 9.91 yards per target. Most other tight ends are averaging 7 yards per target.
He did everything.
He was so ridiculously good whenever they threw him the ball. And they didn't design plays for him.
That's the thing. You bring up the medical thing, I get it. But, like I said, if Andy Reid is apologizing multiple times in a year for not using Jamaal Charles enough, that's the guy I'm willing to put it on.
I just don't trust Reid. And, look, Jamaal Charles had another nice year. I'm just really hoping that Travis Kelce, with Fasano gone, he takes the next step. Because I got to be honest with you, outside of Gronk, I'm not sure I feel better about a tight end than Kelce.
Even with all our complaining here, he's going to be my number three tight end heading into the year. I'd much rather have him in the fifth, sixth round of drafts.
You're not getting him there.
Oh, really? Instead of taking Gronk in the first or Graham in the second.
Because I want to check on where he's going, and obviously Charles as well. Someone from Twitter here, Jesse Seaburn, says, where do you rank Charles, Kelce, and Maclin in terms of their respective position for 2015? Now, John Hanson actually responded to this immediately on Twitter, and he has Charles, he's saying he's the top two guy, Maclin in the 20 to 30 range, and Kelce should be a top three guy. Now, starting with Kelce, I agree.
Oh, yeah, he's number three going ahead.
He's number three right now, and I think you could make the argument to put him over Jimmy Graham.
I put Kelce at two. But this is a value-based argument.
Yeah, right.
Only because I feel like he's going to go after Graham, but I'm not sure that's going to happen when all's said and done. Jimmy Graham, on average in MFL 10s, going at 22.0, so end of the second round. But remember, guys, you have to take into account the fact that a lot of those picks were made before he got traded from New Orleans to Seattle, which obviously knocked his ADP. Travis Kelce, on average, right now, pick 50. Makes him an early fifth-round pick. But I do want to point this out. The minimum pick for Travis Kelce is 26. So somebody took him in the early third round of an MFL 10.
Is he going off the board as the third or fourth tight end?
He is the third tight end.
Okay, which is where you'd expect.
There's a huge gap for him to make up. But I would not be shocked if you see that gap closed completely by the end of the summer.
You can make the argument that no one player in fantasy football in drafts is making a bigger jump from 2014 to 2015 than Travis Kelce.
I would be shocked that if you're in a league where it's a very competitive league, if you're able to get Travis Kelce come August by the end of after the fourth round, I would be shocked.
We were pushing this guy pretty hard.
Oh, absolutely. I told multiple people that I know, hey, take Travis Kelce at the end of your draft.
If you were in certain drafts, and kind of generic, you know, using ESPN stuff or Yahoo stuff.
Yeah,
if you went
ranked
by his ADP, he was buried. Yeah. But if you were playing with smart people, he was going in the 10th round.
In 8th, 9th, and 10th. People were reaching for him. And you know what? This isn't like the We did tell people that, but I didn't have people come up to me and like shaking my hand and say, oh, like when they said thanks for Jimmy Graham. Because Kelce just wasn't used consistently enough. Now, he had some huge games at the end of the year, but you didn't have people coming up to you like, oh, Jimmy Graham. We still have people say to us, oh, Jimmy Graham in 2010. That absolutely just completely saved my ass. Or 2011, whenever it was.
But it should have with Kelce.
It
should have happened with Kelce. Loved Julius Thomas a couple years ago. In June, I remember talking about him. That came through. That should have happened for Kelce last season. And now, he did good enough that people are already excited about him. As we're hearing, he is going high enough.
You can make the argument for him as two. And by the way, that is the biggest drop-off from 1 to 2 in fantasy I think I've ever seen at a position. Gronk is so far and away number one, it's not even close. But, I mean, that's still a very good tight end. I just feel like Kelce might be a guy, might be a better target in auctions. Because I wonder if he's just going to go in a weird spot in a snake draft where you're just not sure where you're going to have to draft
him. I would say this. I'd expect him to get him in more auctions than I would in redraft leagues. I think the hype is going to continue to build.
It might also be a Graham thing where maybe people in a certain auction undervalue Graham because of the transition to Seattle, and you're not really sure where to take him in a redraft.
So, he's in a much better spot now with that receiving core getting better. Albert Wilson developed at the end of the year. They got
Macklin makes the team
they
better.
Now those guys can stretch the field vertically, get some of those safeties out of the middle of the field that are clogging it up there for Kelce. He's in a little bit better situation offensively now too.
In terms of where we're going to rank, that you think Macklin's a number three. So
yeah, he's 30 to 35 in my book.
He's a three.
I put him like right at 30. 29, 30 I think is fair for him.
I won't have him in any leagues, based on that draft information.
He's a massive upgrade over what they had.
Yes.
So, I mean, I'm trying to take that into account somewhat. You know, do they ramp up things a little bit? Don't you have to? I mean, ramp up things a little bit when you have Macklin, Kelce in year two. Now maybe you go, okay, this is what we hope to get out of him. We knew this was coming, but when it shows up, and now does it knock Andy over the head and go, okay, you have Kelce, you see what he can do, now you have to feed him, and you have Macklin. I mean, there are good things here in terms of they clearly needed to upgrade, they upgraded.
For all the complaining, I mean, you're right. This looks like a better team on offense. Now, they lost Rodney Hudson, the center.
Yeah, their offensive line is a little shaky.
The offensive line is something that I think they're going to have to focus on.
They've taken some major hits the last 2 years on that offensive line.
Macklin makes the team better. And they're better because Anthony Fasano is gone. There's no Fasano sitting there on the sideline being a good veteran leader.
They're better because Dwayne Bowe's gone.
They're better because Bowe's gone. They're better because Fasano's gone. This is addition by subtraction in my book.
Now, in terms of Charles, another great season. Now, banged up, had ankle, hamstring, knee, back, shoulder, elbow, all different kinds of stuff that were around. But he still had a tremendous season. Now, it wasn't the 2013 season where he was unbelievable, but he was still great. In 2014, 205 carries, just over 1,000 yards, 5.1 yards per carry, 9 touchdowns, 40 catches on 58 targets, 291 there, 5 touchdowns in 15 games. Now, he played banged up a little of the time there, still the number 7 running back at 17.1 fantasy points per game, dropped off in receiving production, 70% of the snaps.
Big time.
That was big. Now,
33 touchdowns the last 2 seasons, though. I mean, the guy has gotten the ball by the end zone, and he converts.
Niall Davis had 7 touchdowns last season, and he did 14. A nice job filling in. So, I mean, we like this backfield. Davis typically doesn't drive you nuts too much in terms of stealing. He is pretty much a handcuff to Charles and a very good one. And we saw the team use him in that spot last year. So, Charles finishes 7th last year. Playing 15 games, but banged up with all those injuries, do you put him back into the top 5 without a doubt heading into 2015?
Who else is going to go?
Right,
yeah, that's
top
5. My feeling too.
This is the question. How do you feel about Le'Veon Bell after the suspension? Now he's at 3. I think I just have a feeling there's a good shot he gets that knocked to 2, which is what we anticipated. Yep. As we stand now, I still feel like Le'Veon Bell's the top pick.
Charles is right there.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to see Charles going 1 in drafts.
Yep.
If people are just like, I don't want to mess with the Le'Veon Bell situation,
Peterson's a little that situation.
I'm not even considering Peterson right now because I don't know where he's going to be.
No, I'm just saying
right.
the other right. options up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
In terms of Charles.
There's no clear cut number one, though, is there?
Forte has had so many, has been gotten beat up so badly, and now he's playing for a new coaching staff. A coaching staff that should help him, but still, there's questions.
He's had a lot.
There.
Now, Charles had a lot on his plate, too. And I would say this, you talk about clear cut. The Chiefs are pretty clear cut. I think we know what they are and what they have. Adding Macklin and a bigger role, hopefully, for Kelce, we know that, but Charles is their guy. He's going to be their guy. You know who the fantasy relevant players are. He's still one of them. I think.
Now, do we worry? Start worrying about these nagging injuries, though?
I think you have to throw that in
there. He's 28, and he's had a lot of work.
By the way, he's a skeleton.
Yeah.
I mean, his frame. I'm not telling you the guy's unathletic, but I mean, he doesn't
no,
have
he's
a big,
he's a smaller
big
back.
Guy.
Yeah.
He's tall. He's thin. Not really the type of body that you anticipate.
But he doesn't. You know, he's kind of like Forte, man. He somehow avoids some of these big hits because he's quick.
You're going to be seeing Charles go one. I mean, there's just no doubt about it.
He's also a guy, especially in the MFL formats, and I'll ask you about that here in a second, that he does have that home run potential. He can win you a week. He is one of those guys that can put up, I think as much as we like
monster
Eddie Lacy, you know, the monster big touchdowns that, oh my God, he turned it around in a second. That's what Charles does for me. He's a guy that you go, yeah, he put up a monster week and he won me this week or that. You think of him in that way. He's a home run threat that way. Plus he gets the looks at the goal line. Plus he's their most important offensive player. So there's always upside to him because you know he can do something big. Now where is he going right now? Is he top
he
three?
Is average off the board 3.8.
Okay.
Which makes him the second running back behind Le'Veon Bell on average. And I'm interested to see how that changes. Now, that's also at 3.8. Also makes him, on average, the second pick. Because Bell, far and away, has been the number one pick in fantasy. It goes Bell, Charles, Lacy, Gronk, on average.
Wow.
So, I have a tough time saying one of those guys for sure that I'd take over Jamaal Charles. Now, in an MFL 10 format, I almost feel like Gronk might be the most appealing of those guys to take over Charles, if only because he's going to win you tight, get you in your tight end lineup 13 out of the 16 weeks. It's really going to help you out. But because of that, we talked about the questions about Bell. Obviously, you know Bell is going to miss at least a game. I can't imagine it's going to get knocked to fewer than one game from his 3-game suspension. He's going to miss as many as 3. Charles has had the injuries. There's no guarantees with any of these running backs. Lacy's gotten off to a slow start 2 years in a row. There's reasons for that, but he has gotten off to a slow start. Because of this, I think we are going to see receivers go number one in a draft more often than we have ever seen it this year. If somebody's just like, I don't even want to mess with any of these guys, I'm taking Antonio Brown, or I'm taking Gronk, or I'm taking Odell Beckham.
I wouldn't blame him.
I wouldn't blame him at this point. If I think Antonio Brown is an extremely defensible number one overall pick at this point.
If you're talking about receivers here, real quick before we move on to some draft needs and ideas, Albert Wilson is a guy that we saw flash a little bit in the preseason, didn't see a lot of him. And then at the end of the season, 12 for 209, weeks 14 through 16, did nothing in the season finale, by the way. That was when Alex Smith was out, the lacerated spleen, Chase Daniel played. I mean, downfield guy. Probably not really a number two, more of a slot number three guy. And really, we just bring this up because who else do they have? Yeah. Obviously, they add Mac, and we talked about Kelce and Charles and all that. But, you know, he
has
might
an
be a guy.
Skill set. Yeah. He's like an lowercase Brandon Cooks at this point. You know, he's dynamic mover. He should get the ball, you know, by the line of scrimmage, too.
The problem is the offense is what's limiting him. I think he's more of an interesting bench stash.
Once again,
a theme that we've carried throughout these podcasts. I'd rather draft a guy like that than draft the 4-catch-for-50-yard Greg Jennings
that
for the
end
of my bench.
And he's a guy I'd probably feel a lot better with because he can get downfield if he wasn't playing with Alex Smith.
Now, we talked about, you guys mentioned some of the O-line issues, obviously, Eric Berry's unfortunate situation. What would they be looking at the draft? Wide receiver, I mean, they didn't address it last year. Wilson was a UDFA. I would have to think receiver is in the mix here.
Sure.
But both lines.
I was going to say, it's Andy drafting, though.
That's true.
He does like to make a defensive and offensive lines a priority early in drafts.
And you have to think both lines are priorities. Some stuff on the back end, you know, with the defense. And maybe a receiver. Do they actually look at receiver here? Is that a possibility?
I think it's definitely a possibility. It's one of those teams that
that was an area they didn't address last year in the draft for some reason. Everybody was saying, oh, the Chiefs are going to take a receiver in those first couple rounds. And then they didn't. So this year,
and it was the perfect draft to do it.
Yeah,
and this once again, and this is another loaded draft at receiver. You would anticipate they handle it there as well. I think this is my famous term. This is a boring draft for the Chiefs. It should be. Offensive line, bulk up the defense. Inside linebacker is a potential spot for them. Derek Johnson's getting up there. He's going into his 11th year in the league. They have James Michael Johnson, but not a whole lot else, not a ton of depth. They brought back Josh Malga, but I think they could try to find somebody to play that position. Tom Bahali is going into his 10th season in the league.
Houston's franchised.
Yep. Outside
linebacker.
They picked up D Ford last year. He didn't play a whole lot as a rookie. What do you have there? Pass rush could be a priority for them. Secondary. I think it's an offensive line.
So it sounds like a lot. They have a lot of.
They have a good defense, but there are needs here. They need depth. Almost like the Cincinnati Bengals in a way.
Yep.
That like you see the defense and you're like, that's pretty good defense, but an injury here or there could really limit the effectiveness of it.
Well, there you go, our look at the Kansas City Chiefs heading into 2015. Reminder, once again, that MLB season is in full swing, and FanDuel is changing the way people play fantasy baseball. It's more fun than ever. Sign up now to play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. Entry fees start at just $1. You don't have to wait 6 months to win a league. Play today and win tonight, and there's none of that season-long commitment, no upfront fees. And, you know, Tom, when you talk about that, it's, you know, maybe you had a bad week last week. Yeah. Maybe I need a day off here. You know, you have those days where maybe your team is on their off day. And early in the season, you hate the early off days. Come on, I want to watch. So now you have a reason to watch games.
Yeah, and you know, hockey and basketball are winding down here right before the playoffs. You need need a little action this week. You can turn to baseball.
Hey, David from Tampa, he had a very nice opening day. He won nearly $30,000. On opening day playing FanDuel, and they're paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offer's only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. Reminder once again, you can get your questions in, and we appreciate the question today that we got from Jesse. If you want to get your question in for future podcasts, use the hashtag FranchiseFocus and tweet them to us at TheMattCamp, at FG_Dolan, at FG_Bali, and of course the site at FantasyGuruSite. Your questions will get on here. Approaching about the halfway point of the Franchise Focus podcast, taking you all the way up to the number one pick, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So catch up on the ones you missed and plenty more to come. Pre-draft rookie report, Joe and Tom did. The pre-draft podcast, the post-free agency podcast, John Hansen and Greg Cosell. All of that up, plus a whole lot more, a lot of statistical analysis from Mike Horn up, looking back on offensive identities. You can check that up on the site. A lot to get to. If you want to catch up now, you can do so at FantasyGuru.com. Until the end of April, you can get the early bird special at $24.95. That's $5 off our regular season price. So get in now on that. For Joe Dolan and Tom Browley, I'm Matt Camp. Thanks for listening to another edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast right here at FantasyGuru.com.